Hey, Brenna.
Hi, Maureen. So there's definitely like a slight echo recording in here.
Oh, you know what? I probably have that too now because all my bookshelves are gone.
Oh, well, so we're all just going to accept this. We're just going to accept the audio quality as it is because we're all just fans of cats that beat each other up here. So I think we all can give each other some grace, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm in the middle of a move.
Mm-hmm.
So the book, my good friend Joey brought the truck up,
nice.
Threw my bookcases in, and yeah, that was great of them. And the books are all still here. They're all in boxes behind me,
right.
My Warrior Cats books. I don't know if you can see this.
I cannot see. Oh, no,
they're in a pile in my closet.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No, kind of like your setup right now is a little bit like out of the box. Out of the box. Because it's just
this beautiful,
precarious box stack behind you. And it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks fantastical. Nothing will top the out of the box intro and just like everything about that show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like we had a large TV box that we had as a fort for a long time, but like that's what we were aiming for, right?
Yeah, oh, everyone was. And it's like, and it's funny because like they did like a lot on the outside of that box fort that was like extra. It wasn't like just a box, but like they walked in and like that is a set. That is a set that is not translating, but like that was like, it was like the magic, you know? It was the, and I think I accepted it. Even as an adult, I'm like, it makes sense. It was the magic of the imagination, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, we made forts out of, like, sticks and stuff. Like, we have different forts around our house. And, like, those were, I remember we went back to when we were older and I was like, how did we fit our bodies in this? Because it was so huge when we were little. But, like, you know, I think it's just one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
I realized last week we did not even, like, attempt to have the conversation of have you read anything, because I think...
Have you?
I'm kind of reading something.
Do you want to talk about it?
Not really. Well, okay, here's
All
the
right.
thing. I'll mention it just because I'm reading it. My dad gave me this book, like, years ago for Christmas, and it's been on my shelf of, like, I should definitely read this at some point, just because, like, you know, it was a gift. If you give me a gift, I, especially if it's a book, it's like, that's never leaving me. I'm sorry, I'm too sentimental for that. But this is called Financially Fearless, by Alexa Von Tobel.
All right.
And it is basically just, like, a basic, very basic, like, okay, you don't know anything about personal finance. Here, let me give you the basics, bud. And, like, I would say if you, like, do, like, know anything about money, I have enough knowledge. You probably don't need to read this, but it's, like, I think a good young adult. Like, if you're a high schooler, if you're in college, it has a lot of good advice in it. Not all of it is applicable to, like, now, I would say. One being the program that you could get a free trial of that came with the book, the company no longer exists. I would say not for any bad reasons they don't exist. They like didn't go down because of scams or anything. They just like, they were sold and they didn't like survive, you know, for super long. They went like, it's kind of like Mint. Like it's like a kind of like they were a financial advisor group and it's just like the, I would say the online capabilities of most people's banks have changed. Like, so it's just kind of, like some of the advice in here is just like, get your credit score. You have a legal right to get it for free 3 times a year. And I'm like, that's true. But most banks will give it to you now. Like, so.
Yeah. Mine's like, it just like shows it in like my, I don't know.
Right. It's like this
Rocket
book, I would
Money
say
app.
It is, it, I think it was printed in 2013, so it is a decade old when it comes to how technology works in financial fields, but the basic financial information in here, not bad. Just like it has like some basic information here. And my dad gave this to me like when I was graduating from like, or starting college and graduating from high school. Mm. I think he had listened to the audiobook. So I think it was not a bad thing to give a person. And I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't read it till I'm 29.
Yeah. And now you realize you do actually have to stop buying 20 Starbucks drinks a day.
No, that's what I like about this book, though, is she's like, I'm not going to give you the dumb advice. Like, you know that. Like, you know that. She's like, I'm going to give you, like, stuff that's actual workable. So I like it. I think the author had good intentions. Cool. I don't think it's like you're going to be financially, like, set if you read this book. It's very much like, I'm going to teach you the basics, bud. You can sign up for a program or you don't have to. Just, like, here's what you need to know. So I would say there are probably several financial programs that would teach you the same exact thing. If you can find a free copy somewhere, just know that you can't do the vouchers. Probably not going to be the program. It, like, this website's still up, but, like, Wikipedia's like, yeah, the program, like, doesn't exist anymore. So I'm like, okay, I mean, she doesn't own it anymore, and it seems like everything that, like, happened was, like, on the up and up. It just, like, you know, didn't work out. So I'm like, cool. I don't feel weird about talking about this book, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to, you know, be a little more financially literate.
And I mean, I guess, you know, maybe I did start reading a new book.
Mm.
Because
the deed to your house.
We finished The Sight last episode.
Oh, yeah. We finished Sight. We did. There was a person who sent us an email wanting to know what the Reddit post was. I will find it. And I realized I should have linked it in the episode we mentioned it in. I will send that to you, and I'll also like link it, the person who predicted what our timeline would be. Still think that's hilarious. They were close. They were close for when it came
to
the
end of Sight. Very close. Yeah,
only a couple weeks off, and to be fair, we did a couple shorter episodes, and we never shut up, so but yeah, we did finish that book. Do we want to roll into the start of our new one?
Oh, heck yeah. Because I'm Emberheart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this is Warrior Cats.
What is that? So last time it was, I would say it was an intense ending, but like a fun ending because we had our sports day. J-Pa was kind of like, cool sports day. No one wants a blind kid to participate. And it's like, yeah, unfortunately, everyone was kind of like that towards him. Like no one like was like, yeah, we're going to figure out a way to make sure you can play, where he definitely like could have. Or like, I feel like the medicine cat, I feel like they all have a pretty fairly good relationship. I feel like they could have come up with like an herb sorting competition. Like they're still apprentices. So like, why should the warrior apprentices? Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like, but I guess it's a kind of against the medicine cat ways to be like braggadocious about your abilities. But
yeah, it's like, oh, well, they don't usually compete was kind of the thing. It's like,
yeah. I just was like, who can put cobweb quickest around a wound? Like, I don't know. That'd be kind of fun.
Who makes the smoothest salve?
You know, a scouting thing than a competition, you know? You know, you build a boat together if it doesn't sink. That isn't a thing that exists in that world or this. But yeah, so that was happening and everyone was like pretty excited about it. Even the folks who didn't seem as enthused. But just as like Leafpool left to be like, you want to come with? And he's like, no. And she's like, okay. I'm not going to fight you. He gets a vision. He gets a crazy intense vision, which I did make the... I feel like there was maybe an intentional, maybe unintentional allusion to the first vision we ever saw in the series, which was Spotted Leaf's vision, which he had in front of Firepaw at the time.
That was not... No, when she got that prophecy, she was sitting with Blue Star, and it was a falling star that she saw.
Is that it? I remember her having like a random vision in front of Firepaw.
she also, it wasn't a vision so much as she got this prophecy before he was there, and she's like, Star Clan wants me to tell you this right now. Probably okay. Because she was gonna die.
Star Clan's weird like that. Anyway, so, all right, I'm, either way, I felt like there were allusions to that. Who knows? But anyway, he gets this vision and is like, your brother's gonna die in like a really terrible way. You should go help him. And he's like, okay. And he just goes and he's like, where am I gonna go? Oh, and he actually does super well. He's able to find them. And both Lion Paw and Breeze Paw end up in the old badger set that we once upon a time drove the badger and the mom and the kids out of. And yep. It like collapsed and we had a scary moment where, it seemed like Lion Paw was like, okay, they were able to get the dirt out of his mouth, but Breeze Paw was not doing too great, but we were able to resuscitate him. He was fine. And then we had this crazy moment, this crazy, uncomfortable moment. Relief Pool is like, I would never let your child die. Meanwhile, what is it?
Nightcloud.
Nightcloud is right there, the mother of this child. She's like, yeah, our child.
Our which,
like,
son?
100% appropriate. I know we don't, I know their relationship is something, and I don't have the full story behind there, but I think that was fair, because what a wild thing to say in front of the person that, I mean, it's not a secret from anyone. Like,
no, everybody knows.
Public affair, as you said. So, a forbidden affair in many regards, in every way that it's forbidden.
Yeah, that was a double whammy. Forbidden.
But thankfully, both kits were okay. We had a cute moment where Nightcloud was like, don't worry, I got this. And they were snoozing.
And she was like, for now, you are also my son.
Yeah, which
and she
I
soothed
think
them
is,
to sleep.
Yeah, I thought it was sweet, and you know, it's very much I am mom, I am mother, and we did also have a cute moment where, what did Crow Feather say to,
J-Paw?
Yeah, he said something, didn't he?
Yeah, something like. I closed those notes. he said he was treating him like a hero, and J-Paw's like, I'm no hero.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you literally just saved two children.
Yeah, I haven't been, like, keeping up with the count, but that's a point for Crow Feather.
Okay, wait. We're giving a point to Crow Feather?
I feel like Crow Feather probably advocated because it was one star that was like, we need to recognize a very special apprentice at the end of this all. You know, after they gave all the warrior apprentices, like, who won what.
Yeah.
Like, they decided to split the trophy, like, the big trophy, I guess, that didn't exist. But then each individual leader is like, but this apprentice is getting the first pick of the food tonight. So, like, just, like, getting rid of the point. And at the end, one star was like, we need to get three cheers for J-Paw for saving two lives. And I feel like Crow Feather probably heavily advocated to his leader about that, I would say.
Probably. Firestar was also there too.
Yes. But I imagine like one star being the one who said it. I mean, it was one of his members, and I imagine Crow Feather was like,
yeah,
hey mom, can you tell the leader that
yeah, hey mom, can you tell one star?
Yeah, so but also Crow Feather has just been out of all the adults and all like the full-fledged warriors, Crow Feather has consistently treated J-Paw well, and like
he has.
And I know, like, what he has been doing is what should be the bare minimum, but the fact that they are a heavily ableist society I want to recognize it, which is why he's getting a point for this one, because he was like, bro, because as awkward as that whole situation could have been, Crowfeather was like, okay, I'm just going to ignore that and focus on you, J-Paw. Thank you for saving my child and also your brother. And at the end of that all, the lesson J-Paw took from this, which understandable, he wasn't like, he's not like fully like, oh, I'm blind, but I'm not like useless. He's still struggling with that, which I think is fair because look at where he lives. Look at how he is treated.
They're a heavily ableist society.
Yeah. So, like you pointed out, it wouldn't have made sense for him to just be like, and now my internal conflict's over. Like, that would have been a crazy way to end the book. Instead, I think we went like a hard left and or like a hard, just like a hard switch. And he's like, he got another vision. He got the prophecy. He kind of, like you said, it could have been like an accidental, like, cause Firestar has been thinking about this a lot or dreaming about this a lot. This moment he had, yes.
I think in the prologue it said that he was having the same dream every month.
Yeah. So it's possible that, J-Pop unintentionally shared dreams with him and saw this, or just like, I don't know, it's such a strong reoccurring dream for Firestar that since J-Pop is going to be the next medicine cat, he like, you know, honed in on that. I think either works because of how he's so powerful that I think it is possible he doesn't have full control over what he does. He might steal dreams unintentionally or like spy on dreams. Like he did it intentionally in at the Moonpool. This could have been
With Poppy Paw.
Right. So this could have been an accident. So, or just unintentional because no way this kid has a full grasp on his powers.
And I mean, it's about him. So maybe there was something about it.
Right. That, like, I don't know. Cause I feel like it's the way the Star Clan's been treating it has been kind of interesting. Cause they're kind of like, bro, you're kind of like special, but like, we can't tell you how special you are. So I feel like they wouldn't necessarily want him to have this prophecy.
No, but so
I don't think it was intentional that he learned about this prophecy right now.
No.
From Star Clan. And so he found out about this, and of all the ways he could have interpreted it, he's like, ah, cool, I'm basically a god, and my siblings too. Great. I guess nothing really matters how people treat me anymore. Which I guess, you know, fair for like...
Yeah.
The way been treated. Like, okay, I mean, you always like see those like posts, it's like, this character had every reason to become a villain and he didn't. And I'm gonna be honest, J-Paw, if he ends up not being like at least like kind of morally gray as a character, which interesting as a medicine cat, like good on him if he ends up just on the good side, you know, because I feel like, and the way this book is, everything's very black and white, I would say, when it comes to good guys, bad guys, sometimes their motivations are unclear. This situation, if he ends up kind of being, you know, a bit power, which again, I pointed out in this series, being power hungry is bad no matter what, or ambitious even. So I feel like, so it's kind of like, it's wild, but it makes sense that he's like, great, I don't care about how I'm treated anymore. I'm going to be so cool. And the question you asked me is how long do you think it'll take him to tell his siblings? And I said, he'll either tell them like today, right away, or he won't tell them for a while. So that was the end of Sight. And now we're on to a different book. Which do you want to tell me about?
Yes. We are on to The Power of Three, Book 2, Dark River.
Once again, hilarious that we're not doing the themed names anymore. Especially, like, I really thought since we're on this is the third series now?
Yes.
And, like, the first series, we didn't really have that. The second series, we definitely did have that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool, this is... And then from what you've told me of the newer series, I was like, oh, there's themes. And then... and I'm like, oh, just kidding. We did not yet figure that out fully. We did not fully realize that.
Yeah, I don't think we get a theme again until, like, Series 8. So, sorry.
What? Aaron's...
right?
Well, now I need to know how... I mean, I'm sure it'll make sense why this is called that, but tell me more about this book.
All right. So this book was published December 26th, 2007. Sorry for everybody who wanted this for Christmas that year and had to wait an extra day.
You said December 26th?
Yes.
That's my sister's birthday.
It was a Tuesday.
It's beautiful. What was the number one song? Oh, No One by Alicia Keys. No one, no one.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so this one was written by Kate Carey. And she says it was one of her favorite books to write before it came out. So.
Okay.
I actually, they were doing some of these, like, author chats at the time when this series was coming out. So I, like, went through a bunch of them. And yeah, so this was, like, she said around the time, she's like, yeah, this is one of my favorite books that I've written for this series. I don't know if it's still her favorite, but.
The number one UK song was When You Believe by Leon Jackson, and I'm going to be honest, I don't think that one made it its way onto the side of the Atlantic. I couldn't.
No, I don't think so.
Number one country song, you ready for this? Our Song by Taylor Swift. Remember Taylor Swift was just a country singer?
Yeah, I saw her at the Grand Ole Opry.
That's crazy. Anyway.
All right. And according to the Warrior Cats website, in an article written by Vicky Holmes, this was the hardest book for the team to think up a title for.
I can tell.
She was like, I honestly thought this was going to be published, like, without a title. Like, that's how down to the wire they got.
I feel like it is hard to title your work. I feel like half the time when I title something, it's just like, oh, that was the working title I gave it, and it's just it's the same one. So, it's called Dark River.
Dark River. So, I'm going to send you the cover.
I just feel like we're about to expand the Dark Forest verse. We're about to, like, go further into this. Okay, all right, I see this. Let me make this bigger. Hold on.
And then while I'm at it, I'm also going to send you the...
Okay, all right, let me look at these. I'm going to look at these up closer. Okay, so...
Look at Dark River.
I was pulling them up. All right, so...
All right.
Dark River, the number one, the first one. We have rocks on the background. They look like it reminds me a bit of what iron rocks would look like. I don't know what kind of mine we're in, but maybe those. and then we have a red cat with blue eyes. So I'm guessing that's Lionpaw, because is Lionpaw red?
Lionpaw is on the second cover for sure. Lionpaw is a golden tabby with yellow eyes, or like amber eyes.
Okay, so they messed up his coloring,
like his daddy,
like a lot.
But actually, that actually might be Heatherpaw.
On this one, on the old one.
Yeah. So I told you I was looking at those, like, author chats. And somebody asked who was on the cover of Dark River, and Kate said, I think it's Heatherpaw. Vicky might know for sure, but then Vicky doesn't say anything.
Okay, all right, so we have an undecided cat on the cover of this one. Because, okay, wait, give me a reminder of the coloration of these three kids, because I thought Lionpaw was red.
Lionpaw is golden tab. This is supposed to be. So Heatherpaw is a light brown tabby with heather blue eyes.
I gotta look at the power of three cover again. So this is definitely.
I wouldn't look at that as the most. They have the correct.
Can you send me a photo of these three characters? Because I feel like I've been messing this up in my brain now.
Okay.
While you're doing that, the second cover is. Almost, I would say it's fairly similar of, like, what the elements are. There are, I would say, more underground rocks. They look like rocks. We're in a rocky cavern. There's some water. And there's stalactites or stalagmites. I don't know. There are rocks that I think you would only see underground or in a cavern. And then water, that's Lionpaw, who is a golden boy. I guess it would make sense. He looks like his grandma more so.
I mean, do you want just the
just that whatever non-spoiler art you can give me of these three kids?
Okay.
Because I need a better visual in my brain, because I feel like I did not have an accurate representation of Lion Paw in my brain, so now I'm afraid. And I can't look at fan art, so I'm just afraid now I don't actually know what Aowen looks like.
Here, here's a pretty...
Okay, yeah. Holly Paw is black, green eyes. J-Paw is a gray tabby with blue blind, quote-unquote, eyes. There's no specific way blind eyes look. But... And then, okay, Lion Paw looks like a literal lion with golden eyes. Got it.
Yeah. Not a, he's our golden boy.
Golden boy. Golden boy. Got it. Where did the genes come for either of those other two?
Warrior Cats doesn't really pay much attention to genes.
It is a fantasy.
But Brambleclaw's grandma was black, a black cat. So, you know.
I guess Goldenflower's genes just are like, I am here in our little golden boy lion paw.
Well, if we were actually looking at genetics, both of the boys would be red, and Holly Paw would be a tortoiseshell.
Okay. Well, there's no proof she's not a tortoiseshell, which is a really diluted black coat.
All right. I am going to also...
those are some cool covers.
Show you... I want to show you some other covers, though.
Oh. Okay.
We've got the traditional Chinese cover. It's got J-Paw
on the cover. That's so cool looking.
He looks like he's busting out of the book. It's so cute.
It looks like a movie poster. We have our rocks. We have our rocks again. That's consistent with water. I like how his paw is making a little ripple in the water.
Yeah. And then we have the simplified.
It reminds me of the water. Like, it reminds me of the pool that we saw on the mountain. Like, the mountain cast, the tribe of rushing water. It reminds me of their, like, kind of holy space, which if I can remember, it was, like, they have, like, a waterfall, right?
No, the waterfall's outside the cave. Their sacred place was the Cave of Pointed Stones. And that did have little pools.
But... Okay, thank you. I was like, I feel like
that was water. Here's the simplified Chinese translation cover. We got Lion Paw on the cover.
Lion Paw's drowning. He's in the water. And there's some leaves above him. I love this cover so much. I want posters of these covers.
I know, right? And I'm going to show you the Japanese cover. I've got to find it. I picked out all my favorites, like the ones that were more like unique, and put them in my doc.
Covers, at least from what I've seen, because I know the translations are like different when the localizations are happening. The Polish covers have been killing it from the ones I've seen.
Polish cover. I'm saving the Polish cover for last because it slaps.
Thank you.
so this is the Japanese translation.
Okay, so there's two cats here.
So that would be Lion Paw and Heather Paw.
And Heather Paw is his little friend he has a crush on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember? Oh, wait, no. We haven't got there yet. Never mind. All right. And now I'm going to show you
I remember he almost killed her. I will just say before we move on from the Japanese cover, I love the little garland on the outside with the two cats.
That's adorable.
I also think it's very clear that this is a second... one on both the Japanese one and the simplified Chinese one. They like have a big old two, which I appreciate.
Here's the Russian edition, which is kind of charming because it looks like kind of like photoshopped cats.
Oh my god, hold on, I need to look at this closer. Oh my god, this is so cute. Oh my god, wait, I love this. This is like it's like a photoshopped Renaissance, like you went and you did like Renaissance, I mean, quote unquote photography, but like it's two cats. Oh, okay, so we got two cats, a more red one, a gold one. So is that Heather Paw?
That's supposed to be Lion Paw and Heather Paw.
Okay, great. And then a cat literally drowning on top.
Oh, this is J-Paw.
J-Paw's drowning on top.
And last but certainly not least, the Polish. Actually, what am I doing? I'm going to show you the whole spread. Well, here, I'm going to send you the cover first and then I'll send you the spread.
Please.
Okay, so here's the Polish cover, of course, done by the so talented Johanna Tarkella, who is doing all of the Polish editions.
Lion Pot looking so regal and beautiful on top, looking like a literal lion, but like still keeping him a cat. And then I feel like I know now possibly what might happen in this book, because I see two cats meeting in a cavern.
Maybe look like at the next one lovers. I just sent you. The full spread of the cover. Full spread.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god, hold on, I have to download this real quick.
So you probably have a good idea of why it's called Dark River, just by looking at these covers.
I mean, I see a river and it's dark because it is in a cavern. Maybe this isn't the Tribe of Rushing Water place, because this seems like... It might be. I don't know. And to be fair, we are in an entirely new place, so... And if we have a mine, it's very possible, from Minecraft logic, we could have caves nearby. So, using Minecraft logic, guys, I don't know how far we'll travel, but methinks that we're about to maybe go on a journey?
We'll see.
An unintentional road trip, or something's happening. I mean, J-Paw might drown, and I guess Hollypaw's, like, just, like, not... She's going to maybe not be in this book. Are we going to have multiple POVs in this one?
We will definitely have multiple POVs. The last book, we really were focused on, like, Hollypaw and Jaypaw's kind of journey, where Lionpaw was just like, my Lion siblings Paw's are like, going through something.
This guy's great. I wonder why my dad just kind of doesn't ever talk to him.
Yeah, so... This one's more of a Lion Paw book. So we're gonna...
Okay.
Yeah. And then just before we really dive in, just a note that in the Allegiances, Heavy Step is still in the Allegiances.
We literally, last book.
We're talking about how traumatized Leafpool was by it, of his death. Yeah, so he's still there.
You can't get rid of Heavy Step, apparently.
All right. Are you ready for a prologue?
No, but let's go.
Blurstorm, it is time.
Who?
One of my friends has been waiting for this moment.
Who's Blurstorm?
You're in for a real treat.
Who's Blurstorm?
Someone that I talked to on Twitter. A fan.
Oh, I thought this was the name of a cat. I thought that we already started.
No.
Sorry,
no.
Blurstorm, no offense. I thought you were a character in the book and I got confused.
All right. You're in for a real, real treat. We're on the Moorland, which you would know as modern-day Wind Clan territory. Mm-hmm. But this is many, many... moons before. Cats race down the hillside. A tabby queen keeps pace with a young Tom. Is he ready for this? He's ready, Fallen Leaves assures her, green eyes flashing in the moonlight. The queen whispers to Fallen Leaves, the first of hers to face this ordeal. But he assures his mother that he'll be fine. He has trained well, a low voice calls from behind them. Even training can't prepare a soft paw for rain, growls another. Fallen Leaves looks to the sky. He says it's clear. But a cat says he smells rain on the wind, and murmurs of alarm ripple through the cats. The sky's clear, Fallen Leaves insists. And I will let you know, because you're not reading this, it is two different words, Fallen Leaves. So it's not a compound.
Yeah, can you repeat the sentence then?
I'm just going to send you his name. So, Fallen Leaves.
Okay, got it.
He comes to a halt. The moon is lighting his ginger and white pelt. His clanmates crowd around his feet. Beneath his forepaws, the edge falls away steeply, a wall of jagged rock amongst the heather. "Good luck, Softpaw," a cat calls as Fallen Leaf bounds down the cliff to the sandy surface. His mother scrambles after him. "Take care." Fallen Leaves brushes his muzzle against hers, and he promises that she'll see him at dawn. Ahead of Fallen Leaves, a black gash opens like a wound in the cliff. His fur lifts along his spine. He's never been inside. Only chosen cats enter the cave.
Okay, so there is a cavern just like on Wing Clan's territory. Is Wing Clan where Heatherpaw lives?
Yes, it is.
They're lucky the two legs haven't discovered that.
What? To Minecraft?
No, like to go caving. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably
like cat-sized
land or something.
It's fake land.
I know. I'm just trying to like get the logic of why they just like leave a cavern alone.
I mean, it's probably small. There's a lot of little small caves places.
Yeah, I suppose it's only probably big to cats.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
The darkness swallows him as he enters. He struggles to crush the fear that thrashed in his chest, and he remembers his tutor's instructions. The tunnel will take him to the cave. Let his whiskers guide him. So if we're kind of seeing Softpaw is kind of the thing they're calling kind of an apprentice.
Yeah, that
and
makes
they
sense
have
to me.
Tutors.
It makes sense because like tutors. Kitten's paws are soft.
They are. Pale light glows ahead, and the tunnel opens into a cave. The walls arch above him, lit dimly by a gap in the roof. The sound of rushing water echoes around the rocks. A river? Underground? More likely than you'd think.
This is about to become the fictional... What is that? Was that big place that's in Minnesota? Or not Minnesota, in America?
Big place?
The big place that was formed by a river?
The Grand Canyon?
Thank you.
Oh my god. Yes. Fallen Leaf stares at the wide stream that split the floor in two, and its black water glitters dimly. Fallen Leaves, a croaking mew greets him, making him jump. A creature is crouched high on a ledge, lit by moonlight on the cave wall. Was this rock? His pelt is like moleskin, gone except for a few tufts along his spine, and his sightless eyes bulge like eggs.
Oh, wow.
His long, twisted claws flexed on the smooth branch that lay at his paws. The branch is stripped of bark, but even in the dim light, Fallen Leaves can see the claw marks etched along it. This must be rock.
Okay, so Rock is a guy who lives in the cave with a big stick, and he's blind.
And he doesn't have any hair.
Ooh, I'm gonna be real, guys. This is just like in Skyrim.
I don't think you remember, but this is exactly what you asked for probably years ago.
I did ask for a naked cat.
You did ask for a naked cat living in a cave, specifically.
Why are my
happy
powers?
Belated birthday.
See, I have powers just like the three, but my powers inaccurate, like, forecasts. Like, I have ESP for this book series, but it's like, I'm always joking. I'm always putting out a guffaw. Like, I'm just trying to get a chortle. And then, like, four people on Twitter are like, Brenna does not know what she just said. Like, what?
I told you I would give this to you as a treat one day, once you've earned it.
Yes!
And you've earned it, Brenna.
Thank you! I remember why Blurstorm did bring this up when we did some of our, yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
This is crazy.
The day everybody's been waiting for.
This has been a long con. Blurstorm, this is for you.
Yes, because we finally have given you your naked cave cat. And he has a special stick.
He does. Great. I love that he has that. I love that he has a little token.
The creature says that he can feel fallen leaf's surprise.
Well, he's a cat.
It prickles his pelt like a gorse. Fallen leaves tries to stammer out an apology. It's just he didn't expect.
A naked he did not cat?
He did not expect a cat could grow so ugly, Rock finishes for him.
Oh, Rock,
Fallen Leaf freezes with embarrassment. Had Rock read his mind?
Fallen Leaves. He's a very handsome cat to me. I feel, can you imagine TNRing, like in the like 80s, whenever this is happening? And they're like, oh, God.
Oh, what have we found?
We gotta get coconut oil on this cat stat.
Rock says a cat needs wind and sun to shine his fur, and good hunting to trim his claws. But he must stay close to their warrior ancestors, those who have taken their place beneath the earth.
Okay. So Star Clan, we don't have that. We have cats in a cavern. We bury them at sea. I'm down here. I don't know what happens. Or maybe, I don't know, we're connected to some ancient cats down here.
Maybe.
Someone lost their very expensive cat, and that cat got taken in by some wild cats. Instead of treating him fairly, they're like, go get in the cavern, freak.
I mean, I think what he's saying is he used to have fur.
Oh, so he's a cat with alopecia. Somehow this is worse.
Maybe.
Mange, maybe?
Well, no, he's saying that it's because he lives in the cave now.
Oh, that isn't true, but okay. I guess I don't know. I haven't made a cat live in a cave for years on end.
Also, I don't know if we know how old he is, so.
That's true. He could have just lost it naturally.
Well, and for that, we thank you, Fallen Leaves murmurs respectfully. Don't thank me, Rock growls. It was a destiny he was bound to follow. Besides, Fallen Leaves may not feel so grateful to him once his initiation has begun.
Are you about to hit him with that stick? Because that's the only thing I can think is about to happen.
As Rock spoke, he ran a long claw over the lines scratched into his branch. A second scratch crossed out some of the lines, but not all of them.
Yeah, bro, you're about to be smacked with that stick. I'm sorry.
Rock explains that the uncrossed lines mark the cats who went into the tunnels, but did not come out.
Oh, this is scary.
Fallen Leaves.
Why is our initiation just killing people?
Well, not everyone.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like a lot.
Fallen Leaf stares into the dark holes lurking at the edge of the cave. If they did not lead to air and safety, where did they go?
Bro.
Fallen Leaf asks which tunnels they went into. Rock shakes his head. He can't help him. For Fallen Leaf to become a sharp claw, he must find his own way out. Mm.
That's a sick name. We should have stuck with that.
Right. Rock can only send him along with the blessing of their ancestors. Fallen Leaves asks if he can give any advice. Without light, Fallen Leaves will only have his instincts, Rock says. Follow them, and if they're true, he'll be safe. What if they aren't true? Fallen Leaves asks. Then he will die in darkness.
Cool.
Fallen Leaf says he's not going to die. Rock says he hopes not, and he asks if Fallen Leaf knows that he's not to return to this cave. He must find a tunnel that leads straight back to the moor. Is it raining? Rock asks suddenly. And Fallen Leaves stiffens. Should he mention the tingling in the air that hinted rain might come? No. Rock might tell him to turn back. Then Fallen Leaves would have to wait for another day. But he can't put off being a sharp claw any longer.
Oh.
He wants to do this now.
Bro, I don't think rain's good.
Not in an underground river.
Yeah, no, I can see. Sure. I can do A plus B and realize real quick what's about to happen.
Fallen Leaves promises that the sky is clear. Rock runs his paw across the lines on his branch. Then begin, he says. Fallen Leaves eyes the tunnel beneath Rock's ledge. It seems larger than the others and looks to slope upwards. Maybe it goes to the moorland high above? This is the way he will choose. Heart pounding, Fallen Leaves leaps across the river and heads into the bone-chilling darkness.
This is a crazy prank to throw at a kid. This is a crazy hazing experience. Hey, yeah, go into this cavern and pick the right way out. If you get lost, you just die. Like, there's no one coming for you. Like, I hope that he means, like, yeah, these guys didn't make it. AKA, I went in, I was like, yeah, you pick the dead end. There's like 14 dead ends, and there's one way out of here. So you just gotta go back and try a different day.
No, it's you get out or you die.
I like to think that this guy's just a little prankster.
By dawn, he will be a sharp claw, Fallen Leaves thinks, pout bristling.
I don't think you make it, bud.
At least he hopes.
Oh, we're about to fight a skeleton.
End of the prologue. You want to hit me with a cat fact?
That was a crazy prologue. That was a crazy prologue. Like, of all the prologues we've had, that one was, hey, you guys want to know how hard it used to be a warrior? You want to know, like, how many people just, like, straight up died? And I like how it's like, you know, life wasn't harder. It was like, you know, it was like life before the Industrial Revolution. We just, like, did different hazing things. We just, like...
Yeah, we just sent kids into tunnels.
Just, like, to... And it's, like, for no reason. Like, there wasn't, like, a resource we needed. It was just kind of like, well, we have to prove it. Prove what? I don't know. Prove it. And it's, like... I understand, like, maybe we have some connection to our ancients there, but, like, that's wacky wild. Whew.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's have a cat fact. In June 2021, Allison Jube was planning a trip. It might also be Allison Jubb. It's J-U-B-B. But she was planning a trip away from her home in Sheffield, England. As she would not be home for a while, she was taking her 9-year-old Tortie, Topsy, to a local cattery for temporary boarding and care. Unfortunately, Topsy escaped her carrier and scampered off before Jubb could catch her.
And went to New Forest?
Allison made posters and social media posts, but after several months, she just accepted that her cat was gone forever. That was until 8 months later, when her daughter-in-law called in February 2022 and asked, "Were you watching the game?" The game in question was a football, otherwise known as soccer, match between the local Sheffield Wednesdays, which is a hilarious name, which is, like, they're probably one of the oldest football clubs in England, and it, like, came from the fact that the people who, like, ran the club had, like, half work days on Wednesdays, and so, like, that's why they did the club on that day. So, anyway, it was against them and the Wigan Athletic. Once again, I really hope I'm pronouncing these correctly. At Hillsborough Stadium, about 2 miles away from where Topsy had escaped all that time ago. Allison answered that no, she hadn't, and her daughter-in-law told her of the cat, who looked so much like Topsy, that interrupted the game. And Maureen, of course, I have a video for you. I'm gonna describe what happens in the video, but it is linked. And I do want you to just watch. It's only 38 seconds, so it should go rather quick.
Oh. Excuse me? Oh, precious thing. Oh. She just lets her pick him up.
Mm-hmm. So, a Tordy cat gallops onto the field, catching the attention of two players, one from Wigan and another from Sheffield. The Wigan player, Jason Kerr, carefully approaches the cat, who seems to be, like, possibly playing, but is no doubt stressed out. He's kind of darting around, but is approaching people. But is like, oh, I don't know if I want you to touch me. The cat flops down. The cat flops down twice. The first time wriggling out of Kerr's grasp, but then eventually being scooped up carefully by to the cheers from the stadium and
yes,
and you know, out of relief and excitement, Kerr hands the cat off to an official on the side. There, it was noticed that the cat's odd running was not just out of play or stress. The poor thing was injured. Thankfully, and this is just kind of where this story gets so crazy. Thankfully, a veterinarian named Sam, who was a seasonal ticket holder for the Sheffield Wednesdays, approached the team management and asked to take the cat for emergency care immediately. So, like, a vet was just in their stadium and be like, let me take her right away. Fantastic. So this was happily agreed to and not a moment too soon, as the cat was found to have recently gotten bit by an animal, damaging her spinal cord. So the kind of weird jumping, it might have been that injury or just kind of like something neurological. So she wasn't, even though she's like hopping fairly, playfully, I would say, she's fairly stressed out, and she was very recently hurt in this video. Thankfully. Yeah.
I wonder if it was just pain. You know, she was trying to find a way to like, walk that wasn't painful.
I
don't
know
what to
do. I'm stressed, but I know people will help. So, you know.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the vets who started her intensive care were able to get her sorted out. And they also scanned her microchip. Allison Jubb had laughed off her daughter-in-law's suggestion, knowing that, well, it would be nice, Topsy was most likely gone. That was until the next morning, when she received a second phone call confirming that, yes, Topsy was alive and was the cat that ran out into the field. So the daughter-in-law was like, that was her, and it was. So, yeah, I understand why Allison was like, I don't want to get my hopes up. And I imagine after all that, it would be a literal miracle. So, and it was. So, So, perhaps, as suggested by Jubb, after being hurt, she ran to the noise, hoping that people would help her. And that they did. Even more than just treating her so kindly that night, which Allison was grateful for how kindly that the players and everyone involved. They were, you know, you can tell, like, these two players are kind of, like, carefully approaching this cat. And, you know, they pick her up very politely, and there's photos of, you know, everyone's holding her as you should hold a cat, you know, as well as the can without letting her go. You know, in the situation, Jubb had thought Topsy had passed, so she no longer had any insurance for her, meaning that there was a highly expensive cost to her recovery. Her outlook was good. So Jubb made an online fundraising campaign asking for help covering the £10,000 bill.
Wow.
Due to the virality of the story and hoping to make sure it had a happy ending, the campaign quickly met its goal and then some, being 117% funded by the time it ended.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. The Sheffield Wednesdays also donated. Glad that Topsy had a loving home and a good prognosis. The last coverage I found was from March 2022, indicating that Topsy was recovering well, and I hope that she still is.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet. I mean, I could not imagine losing any of my...
from everything precious. I found, I don't think she was an inside or outside cat. She was literally just trying to bring her cat to a cattery, which is both a place that, from the definition, cats can be bred at, but this seems to be like a cat hotel. You know, she was looking for temporary lodging. Probably didn't have anyone to come cat sit, so she's just like, all right, perfect, I will let someone care for her, and then unfortunately, during this transition, she got out.
Yeah.
And she, on the, like, fundraising page, she's like, being my mischievous torty self, you know, and I made an escape.
Those
and
girls.
Was living like Puss in Boots for the past 8 months. But,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, she did get, or it seems like her injury was fairly recent before she, like, got onto that's the field. Good. So, that's why it ended up, even though she did have a spinal cord injury, she was able to recover. And I did, like, find a video of her at her home and just, like, it had, like, you know, keep her in a kennel for most of the day. And I do believe, yeah. I couldn't 100% confirm this because I couldn't find any coverage besides this one video, but I believe there was another cat named Fluffy who was really happy she was home. So, yeah, so it, not only did she come home to Allison, but she also came home to Fluffy, who was another a big old tabby, but, like, longer-haired. So... just like a cat incursion on a field that had a very happy ending. And shout out to the players and everyone at that field that night who were just like, oh, cat. Okay, let's get this. So very glad it all worked out and literal miracle. So I found the story and was like, oh, perfect.
Are you ready for chapter one?
Am I ever? Let's go.
Look out, Lionpaw calls, lashing his tail. ShadowClan warriors are behind them, he says. Hollypaw whips around, fur on end. She'll take them. Lionpaw looks to his brother. Sent anything, Jaypaw? More warriors coming, Jaypaw reports, eyes wide with alarm. Prepare for attack. And I am sorry, but the book does say his blind blue eyes wide with alarm, because they always say that.
Wow. All right, well, consistency, I guess.
Lionpaw orders that they'll ambush them as they come through the camp wall. He asks Hollypaw if she can handle those three. Easy, Hollypaw says, rolling onto her back and springing to her paws. Lionpaw darts forward behind the prickly wall of thorns. Jaypaw, quick, beside him. Jaypaw scoots over and drops into an attack crouch. They're coming, he says. A tabby warrior trots through the entrance. Now, Lionpaw screeches as he hurls himself at the warrior. Jaypaw scrambles between the enemy's paws and the invader trips, and Lionpaw is on him in an instant.
Is this their dad?
Enough. Enough. Squirrelflight's sharp mew rang across the small clearing. Lionpaw stops pummeling Brambleclaw's back with his hind legs.
I was like, are they beating up their dad?
Yes.
I was like, you mentioned a tabby. I'm like, so their dad, they're beating up their father for some. Is this when they were kids? Or are they doing this as, like, teens? Which is funnier.
They're doing this as teens.
This is so much fun. It's like when, you know what... My dad and we used to, like, play a game where our dad would, like, hide in the basement, and we used to, like, send our dog Lucky down first because he turned off all the lights and there were, like, no windows in, like, the one part of the basement. So it was just pitch dark.
Yeah.
And our bedrooms were down there. And so my dad would hide there to scare us. So we'd send Lucky down, like, go get him. And then, but then, of course, Lucky would listen to him and not us. And we're like, oh, crap, it didn't work. But it's like, it's when you start to torment your parents as teens. You know, like, he was doing that to us when we were little. When you're a teen, though, you get to start tormenting your parents back. So.
Yep. Well, Lionpaw looks to his mother as she hurried through the den entrance. But they were pretending ShadowClan was attacking, Lionpaw says. Brambleclaw gets to his paws and shakes Lionpaw off. Good ambush, he purrs. But they know they aren't supposed to be playing here. Lionpaw slides to the ground. It's the only good place to practice a surprise attack, he argues.
Are they in the leader's den?
No, no, no. They're actually in the half-finished Warrior's Den expansion.
Oh.
Because they had to expand. Yeah, they talked about this last time, like when... Graystripe and Millie got there.
Right,
and it was like, ooh, there's not really room for you.
Are we tunneling? What are we doing?
No, no, they're just like, I think it's like, you know, in some brush.
Oh, got
just,
it.
You know, utilizing the space better. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Hollypaw points out that they weren't in anyone's way. What if every apprentice decided to practice their battle moves here, Squirrel Flight demands? The walls would be broken and all of Birch Falls and Graystripe's hard work would be wasted. And Brambleclaw points out.
Of course, Graystripe is like, yeah, I'm not the deputy anymore, but I will take in charge of this construction. Which, honestly, yes. it's what Graystripe should be doing. Graystripe, I think, is a good, like, he's a good manager. He's not a good CEO.
Yeah. You don't want him for VP.
Right.
But
you do you want put him on a project sales, and you know it gets done. He does have a good personality and he's very amicable.
Yeah. Brambleclaw points out that they need to expand the warrior's den before his kits and the other apprentices become warriors. It's already too crowded here as it is.
Whose kits?
Brambleclaw's kits. His kids.
Oh, right. I thought Gracia was
you know, these three. We have 9 apprentices right now.
We do. The rest of them don't matter, though. As
I was reading through those chats. You know, where the authors are talking, and Cherith wrote the last book, and she said something like, oh, I'm not really good at big scenes with a lot of cats. That's more Kate's forte. And it's like, oh, is that why there were no other apprentices mentioned during The Apprentice?
At least she set it up so they all agreed, like, yeah, there'll be these many cats. You know what? Good on them. They know their limits.
Right.
But you could have just, like, throw out a name. They're listed.
Okay, we get the point, J-Paw says. Look at you, Squirrel Flight licks J-Paw roughly between the ears. They've made themselves filthy. They'll be leaving for the gathering soon. Lionpaw starts grooming himself before his mother can start with him next.
I feel like Squirrel Flight is not a gentle groomer.
No,
Like, she's not doing those gentle licks to, like, smooth out their hair. She is straight up just dunking them in the river. She can.
Well, J-Paw ducks away from Squirrel Flight. He can wash himself, you know.
No, it's funnier this
Brambleclaw.
Way.
You're messing up my mane, Mom. Brambleclaw tells his mate to let them be. He's sure they'll smarten themselves up before they leave. Of course we will, Lionpaw says. There was no way.
Who? Nothing, never mind.
Well, there was no way he'd let the other clans see him looking like a hedgehog. And this would be their first gathering with all three of them getting to go together.
Aww.
Lionpaw says they've been looking forward to it for ages. Haven't we, J-Paw? J-Paw flicks his tail. Yeah, right.
Shut up, J-Paw. You're so happy. You love your brother. You love him so much.
Lionpaw flexes his claws. Why did J-Paw have to be so grumpy all the time? This would be his first gathering ever. He has to be looking forward to it.
Because
he'd missed the last two.
You say that.
Huh?
This is like a thing in... The weebs get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he missed... Of course he missed his... J-Paw missed the first gathering.
Yeah, your brother's punished been in this, like, one of his many for runaways. Like, so many of these.
Well, and then the second one, it was just that, you know, there was that big illness outbreak in the camp.
Yeah, he was pretty busy.
And he had to stay and help with that.
Lame.
And Lionpaw knows that it's important to J-Paw to be able to do what other cats did, despite his blindness. And that includes going to gatherings. Lionpaw is excited, but Hollypaw looks worried. She says she hopes the other clans don't pick on them again. Does he know if Millie's coming? Maybe she should stay behind this time. Squirrelflight points out that Millie can take care of herself.
They mean to Millie?
And...
Of course they were. What am I saying?
Yeah. Brambleclaw adds that the contest seemed to have smoothed things over a bit. But for how long?
My smart
Hollypaw
and beautiful
asks.
Wife made a beautiful, wonderful suggestion. Is what he meant by that.
J-Paw snorts. Hollypaw is always worried about something. It's like living with an anxious owl.
Of course she is. She's a lawyer.
She needs to get ready for the bar exam.
Yeah. In a perfect world, she would be a lawyer.
Yes. Squirrel Flightso's new leaf is here. With more prey running around, the clan should be less prickly. Hollypaw glances at Jaypaw. Some cats are still prickly, even with a full belly.
Squirrelflight hushes her. She got you there, though, bro. She got you there.
Yeah. Squirrelflight hushes her and nudges her. Go eat. Hollypaw says she was only telling the truth. Jaypaw barges past as she's leaving, and Hollypaw yelps and glares after her brother. He nipped her. Lionpaw's whiskers twitched. She can fight off three Shadow Clan warriors single-pawed, he teases, but one nip from her brother and she's squealing like a kit.
Exactly. That's how siblings work.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, I skip over some of them, but I don't like skipping over this, like, fun sibling stuff.
We want more fun sibling times. We've been begging for sibling dynamics. I've been begging for sibling dynamics. Since we have a series of it, we're going to
indulge
in it.
Hollypaw says he's squealed too. Lionpaw hasn't squealed since they left the nursery. Hollypaw and Lionpaw start to chase each other and play tussle, but Lionpaw goes to the fresh kill pile and tosses her a mouse. Nip this instead. Time skip. They're on the lake shore, approaching the gathering island. Jaypaw walks with Leafpool, and she guides him subtly with her flank. And Lionpaw wonders if he should warn Jaypaw about the tree bridge. It's surprisingly slippery. If you remember, he almost fell in during right. his first time. So, it'll be good to see Willowpaw, Hollypaw says beside him. Willowpaw? Lionpaw echoes distractedly. There's only one apprentice Lionpaw is hoping to see.
Oh my god, this boy!
Heatherpaw, the pretty WindClan apprentice with smoky blue eyes.
Oh my god.
He lets out a small sigh.
It's like, I'm sure he thinks he's being so subtle about it, but like, literally Crowfeather caught on, like, immediately.
Yeah.
I'm sure siblings know, too. I do love that we're in Loverboy's head, though.
It's fun. Hollypaw asks what he's thinking about. And Lionpaw quickly says Jaypaw. He was wondering if Jaypaw could make it over the tree bridge. Hollypaw warns him not to let Jaypaw hear him say that. They're crossing through the marsh. It's River Clan's territory. Berrypaw is dodging around, as if hoping to flush out prey. This is River Clan territory, Hollypaw hisses. Berrypaw retorts that he knows, but there's no harm in looking. So long as he just looks, Hollypaw says. Graystripe purrs loudly. Firestar, he says. It sounds like Hollypaw is preparing to challenge him for leadership.
That's my daughter. She's a lawyer.
Granddaughter.
Oh, right.
Lionpaw glances at his sister. Was this Graystripe's way of saying Hollypaw was too bossy? Hey, Hollypaw says, fluffing out her fur indignantly. She was just telling him. She's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the laws, and you won't get told.
Girls can be bossy. Pretty sexist of you, Lionpaw.
At the tree bridge, the clan follows Firestar over, one by one. Lionpaw stands back as Hollypaw leaps after Hazelpaw. Isn't he coming? She asks. Of course, Lionpaw hisses back.
He's more nervous about the bridge than his brother is.
He's waiting to make sure I don't fall in, Jaypaw says from behind him. Only because he nearly fell in his first time, Lionpaw explains quickly. It's tricky if you don't know where to put your paws. He's like, yeah, but like, because I almost fell.
trust me, it's not because you're disabled.
I'm the big brother.
It is because I am dumb.
Jaypaw reaches up into the tangle of roots and feels with his forepaws. Here, Leafpool says. She jumps past Jaypaw onto the trunk, and she tells him it's not too high. J-Paw sniffs to judge how far away his mentor is, and he jumps and scrambles to her side. His paws immediately slip from under him, but he's able to regain his balance. Lionpaw fights the urge to jump up to help his brother. Leafpool crouches, tense and silent, ready to spring if J-Paw slips again. One slow paw step at a time, J-Paw feels his way along the bridge. Hollypaw calls to him from the other shore to jump her way. The sand's soft, but it's clear. J-Paw lands a little clumsily, but straightens up at once. Lionpaw feels a wave of relief. Hurry up, Lionpaw! Berrypaw is trying to push past him. Lionpaw leaps onto the trunk to block his way, but Berrypaw leaps up straight after him, and the tree trembles. Come on, Berrypaw urges. Lionpaw scrambles across the tree with his denmate at his heels.
Two idiots.
Brackenfur warns them.
The tree.
Brackenfur warns them that there's no need to rush, but Berrypaw keeps pressing up behind Lionpaw. Stop hanging around. But Berrypaw's mew turns to a yelp as he started to slide off the trunk.
Who's Berrypaw's parents?
Daisy.
Oh, right, right.
Brambleclaw's his mentor.
God. Wait, Bramble? Right.
Brackenfur lunges forward to grab him by the scruff, and Berrypaw dangles, paws churning in the air.
Berrypaw's like, this is so embarrassing.
Okay, except, like, this exact thing happened last gathering when Brambleclaw pulled him out of a fight. He almost got into a fight with Owlpaw of ShadowClan.
That's true.
And he was left in a warrior scruff with his paws flailing in the air. So, like, hey, Berrypaw.
Berrypaw doesn't have any chill. And let's be fair, he doesn't need to be chill. I love him.
Brackenfur heaves the apprentice back onto the trunk.
Brackenfur's like, I'm so sick of this.
He told Berrypaw not to rush, and Lionpaw is just glad that it hadn't been him. Once everyone has made it over the bridge, Firestar signals for them to head into the clearing.
Firestar's J-Paw watching all that being like, yep, well. Hmm. Why don't you marry Brackenpaw? And Scrollflip's like, what? Brackenfur.
J-Paw doesn't move, just stares into the trees. Lionpaw wonders if he's nervous. Lionpaw assures his brother that it's only Bracken. The clearing isn't far. Hollypaw crashes back through to them. Come on, why are they dawdling? Just planning their entrance, J-Paw says with a flick of his tail as he begins to walk forward. Cool as a cucumber.
I love the drama.
Hollypaw tells them that ShadowClan and WindClan are waiting as she leads them to the clearing. RiverClan hasn't arrived yet.
Which is crazy because, like,
Lionpaw,
we're right on their territory.
Lionpaw says they're on their way. He smelled them from the tree bridge.
Oh.
J-Paw lifts his nose. Lionpaw is right, but there's something odd.
I am excited to see what the other powers of these guys are.
Yeah?
I'm sure we're going to get more of, like, Lionpaw's POV this time, just because based on the cover.
Yeah.
I think you've suggested it in the past. Right now, Hollypaw's power is being a lawyer, which is
obviously
a huge superpower. And anxiety, but I'm excited to see.
Lionpaw scents again. Seems the same as usual to him. Probably just eating too much fish, he guessed.
Oh god, okay, well we know it isn't super smelling.
As they emerge into the open clearing, J-Paw stiffens. Are there always so many cats? He whispers. Lionpaw gazes at the warriors, apprentices, and medicine cats around the clearing. It looks like an ordinary gathering crowd to him. Was Heatherpaw here? Hey, kitty pet! Whitetail, a WindClan she-cat, is racing towards Millie. and her apprentice, Breezepaw, hurries after her, ears flat. Lionpaw unsheathes his claws,
ready to defend
his clanmate.
That lady sucks.
Hi, Millie. Whitetail greets her and rubs her muzzle against Millie's.
Or not?
They twine their tails as if they were old friends.
Oh my god. Graystripe's right there.
So was that, like, congenial that she called her that?
Yeah, was there, like, a hey, kitty pet? You know,
like, hey, girly pet. You know, just kind of, like, playing.
Yeah. Lionpaw's claws slide back in. Hollypaw gasps. Do they know each other?
Do they?
Breezepaw stares wide-eyed at his mentor. Whitetail steps back and blinks warmly at Millie. Thank you for the rabbit she gave them at the contest, Whitetail purrs. She shares like a clan cat. Millie dips her head.
Millie is that lady who moves into the cul-de-sac and, like, she moves into the suburbs and everyone's, like, really side-eyeing her, but then she brings the best muffins you've ever had. And, like, you didn't even know how she found out that your uncle died, but she brought over, like, a basket of, like, goodies.
Yeah.
And was just like, hey, if you need anything, if you need me to watch the kids or, like, anything. And it's like, she's, like, at those PTA meetings. She's at the HOA meetings. And, like, she isn't taking up any extra space or, like, you know, being too loud. But, like, the suggestions she makes are, like, wow, I don't know why we haven't, like, thought about that earlier. That is a great fundraising idea. Millie.
She's great.
Looks like the contest did some good after all, Hollypaw whispers. Lionpaw sees Torn Ear staring at Millie with narrowed eyes. He doesn't seem to like his denmate talking with a kitty pet.
No, just listen to his name. He seems like he is a very prejudiced guy.
Russetfur, the Shadow Clan deputy, is also watching. Her pelt bristles as she whispers something into a clanmate's ear.
Is she speaking to Boulder? Do we know her? No, I don't think so. I think we ran on different streets. You think she's one of those kitty pets used to, like, yell at us? Get vaccinated? No.
Breezepaw says nothing, just leaves his mentor to push through a crowd of Shadow Clan and Wind Clan apprentices.
I would say, like, of all casts who'd kind of give her a side eye for a reason that would be maybe probably misinterpreted, I think having Russetfur do it makes sense, because I feel like Russetfur might, like, be kind of, like, projecting a little bit, you know?
I mean, the reality of it is that Yellowfang's secret doesn't come out till much after this book is written.
Let me play with this a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no. And that's what's fun about it. So, yeah, is she projecting?
Let's say she is. That's what I think.
Well, Lionpaw wonders if he sees Heatherpaw's pale tabby fur anywhere among the jumble of pelts.
Oh, God, this freak.
But Lionpaw doesn't see Heatherpaw in the crowd. Jaypaw asks what he's disappointed about. Disappointed? Lionpaw stammers. How does Jaypaw always seem to know what he's feeling?
He has a superpower.
He's not disappointed.
You probably have
Jaypaw
one, too.
Jaypaw says Jaypaw says a mouse on the moor could have heard his tail hit the ground. Lionpaw admits that he was hoping to see someone. Heatherpaw? Hollypaw asks, her ears flicking anxiously. Well, she wants to see Willowpaw, he says, fur bristling
at
her
accusing tone.
Hollypaw says it's not the same. Yes, yeah. It is, Lionpaw protests. They're just friends.
Oh my god. I don't know if you guys realized how be who you are. That was like how, like, all right.
Heatherpaw is racing across the clearing towards him. Lionpaw, you're here. Lionpaw feels his heart skip and glances nervously at Jaypaw. Is he listening to his heartbeat, too?
He's not going to stop you, though. He just thinks it's hilarious. To be fair, the only one who's going to, like, even try to stop you is your sister.
Okay, yeah.
J-Pod does not
This care. Is illegal.
J-Pod's like, we're God, so we can do whatever we want.
I know you don't know this yet, but...
Yeah, I guess he didn't tell them right away, huh?
No. Lionpaw pushes his excitement away. Hello, Heatherpaw. Lionpaw greets her coolly. He doesn't sound... He doesn't sound very pleased to see her, Heatherpaw says, ears twitching. She's been on her best behavior all moon, so that Crowfeather couldn't possibly leave her behind.
Oh my god. I love her. She's like, I'm sorry. I thought you'd be hyped to see me. I'm hyped to see you. I tried really hard to make sure I could see you, bro.
Lionpaw feels guilty about his lack of enthusiasm, then feels angry. Because why should he feel guilty? She's just a friend. Lionpaw tells Heatherpaw that he's glad she made it. Hollypaw steps in front of Lionpaw to brush her muzzle lightly against Heatherpaw's. StarClan has given them fine weather again, Hollypaw says politely.
All right.
You brought your brother! Heatherpaw's eyes shine as she notices J-Paw, and Lionpaw feels jealousy run along his spine. He wished Heatherpaw hadn't been around to see J-Paw rescue him from that badger set. J-Paw snaps hotly at Heatherpaw that nobody brought him. He came with his clan. And Lionpaw is almost grateful for that. Heatherpaw starts to apologize in a fluster. Of course, she knows he can travel by himself. It's just... And she's saved by Leafpool calling for her apprentice to join her with Barkface and Mothwing. Yeah. Heatherpaw.
She's doing her best here.
Take no... Yep. Take no notice of J-Paw, Lionpaw tells Heatherpaw. He's grumpy as a badger. Who's grumpy? Lionpaw isn't excited to see Breezepaw coming towards them. Oh, Heatherpaw isn't wasting her time chatting with these two, is she? Breezepaw asks, sitting beside her. He says Ivypaw and Owlpaw have just challenged Berrypaw to a competition to see who can jump the highest. Why doesn't he go watch it then? Heatherpaw says. Why doesn't she come with him? There's a challenge in the glint of Breezepaw's eye. Lionpaw hears the ferns rustle and smells something familiar. RiverClan is here, he says. And Hollypaw stretches up to watch them file into the clearing. Something seems wrong. Their tails are down and their ears are flat. And he thinks about what J-Paw said. There's something odd.
Is Leopard Star dead? I'm gonna cry.
Hollypaw notices that Leopard Star doesn't look very happy.
Oh, okay, she's not dead.
Leopard Star is touching muzzles with Fire Star, but her tail flicks impatiently. Hollypaw! Willowpaw breaks from her clanmates to hurry over and greet Hollypaw. She can't stay, she says, out of breath. She has to join Mothwing, but she wanted to say hello. Hollypaw starts to ask if everything is okay with her clan, but at the moment, Crowfeather joins them.
Oh, God.
Lionpaw's whiskers twitch in frustration. Would he ever get a moment alone with Heatherpaw?
No, it's a gathering.
Crowfeather greets his apprentice briskly and suggests that she go talk to apprentices from the other clans. He says this is a good chance to get to know different cats. His gaze flicks over Lionpaw and Hollypaw.
He's like, I know what's up.
I know this does not end well. I can't have another scandal like this from my apprentice. That looks so bad. They'd be like, oh, did Crowfeather teach you that? Like,
yeah.
Come on, Breezepaw urges. Let's see if Ivypaw outjumped Berrypaw. Heatherpaw glances at Lionpaw and shrugs. Okay, then. Lionpaw's tail lashes on the ground as he watches Crowfeather and Breezepaw guide Heatherpaw away from him. All right, we're not going to finish this gathering.
I don't think today.
That's okay. All right, I think we're going to stop there because Black Star's just about to call for the gathering to begin.
And it seems like we got some drama.
Yeah, what do you think's up with River Clan?
They had another guy die mysteriously on Thunder Clan territory. I don't know. They found out that their medicine cat can't talk to God. Leopard Star's like, hey guys, I think we need to address the elephant in the room, which was us, like, siding with the bad guys multiple times. Like, it could be a lot of things. There's, like, anything's possible. I don't think it's any of those, maybe Leopard Star's gonna die. Like, Leopard Star's, like, ill. I mean, she wouldn't be traveling if she's ill. Maybe she's, like, I don't know. Their medicine cat's good, but, like, can't talk to God good, so...
She seems agitated.
Oh, so she seems
so angry. Yeah, so she seems like she's physically fine. Everybody's just kind of, so like,
someone's been upset. Up to some BS is what I'm guessing. So someone's done something silly. I'm guessing it has to do with maybe someone they share a border with. Maybe, I don't know. We haven't heard any news or nothing's been mentioned, but, like, I suppose this is the time and the place would happen. Whenever we start with a gathering, I don't know if we haven't, like, started with a gathering. I don't remember this ever happening.
You know, you might be right.
This is probably the quickest we've gotten to a gathering, so I think we're going to start off with some drama post-haste.
Yeah.
I mean, we already had a crazy beginning to this book. Like, that was nuts. Like, yeah... We just send kids down in a hole that die. So I guess it's, and that's on Wing Clan territory, so it's not like, well, I mean, I don't know, someone in River Clan has gone missing. That's because they fell in a giant hole. They're going to be peeved when they find out that there's a river underwater on someone else's territory.
Oh no, that's ours.
That's ours. It's like, come on, guys. Anyway. I don't know. I don't know what's up. I'm ready to see. I'm sure Blackstar is going to say something. Whatever. We had a great, like, it hasn't been too long since the sports day, so everyone seems to be in a somewhat okay mood except for River Clan. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been about a moon.
It's like, without the guy there, Bishonen boy. Who's Mothwing's brother who's dead?
Oh, Hawkfrost.
Yeah, with that Hawkfrost there, I couldn't pinpoint what the troubles are specifically.
your issue's gone. We found him dead on our territory. We found
his corpse conveniently here, which is like, all right, ThunderClan. You know, sometimes I feel like people treat ThunderClan unfairly for, like, not good reasons. That is a reason we could treat them poorly. A guy died on their land, and they're just like, oh, whoa, what happened?
You're saying you just found him like that with a wooden stake through his heart?
Like, the leader and the deputy found him like that?
Wild.
Okay, so, but we'll solve this mystery next time. In the meantime, if you want to keep up with us, then we have our social media, WCWITcast, on Twitter or on Instagram. We also have an email that you can contact us at WCWITcast@gmail.com. If you want to support us financially, we do have a Ko-Fi and or Ko-fi. It is linked in the episode description. But the best way to support us is to share this episode with a friend and say, hey, new book, second in the series, best time to jump in, crazy intro.
Brenna gets a treat.
Brenna gets a treat, and it's a naked guy in a cave, and that's like, you didn't think that'd be a treat, but it is.
Of all the things Brenna's tried to manifest, you wouldn't think this one would come true.
And it did.
But also, the Olympics just happened. She didn't even need to manifest
it. It just happened.
Yeah.
What's better than that?
Nothing, because I'm Emberheart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this has been Warrior Cats.
What is that? A naked guy in a cave.